Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the afternoon show today, broadcasting live from Citizens Bank Park. Deborah Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth. Deborah Heart and Lung Center, Delaware Valley's only heart hospital. Ike Reese, Tom Kelly, Elliot Shore Parks. 4 o'clock. Eagles cuts happening right now. Elliot, what do we got that you've seen in the last few minutes here?
Yeah, so the deadline is in, but we don't have the official roster just yet. I'd imagine we're going to get that in the next few minutes, but the big news is it seems James Bradberry has made the initial 53-man roster. He will be on the team. We'll see how long he's on the team, what his role is. But in terms of surprises, that's probably the biggest, I would say, surprise so far.
Yeah. You say big news. I don't know if that's big news or
well,
not.
Well, yeah. I mean, this year there just aren't many big roster decisions to make, to be honest. It's not like past years. Like the backup offensive line, there's interesting decisions to make, and it matters, but – you know, we're not going to break down. Yeah,
I agree with you. No, I agree with you. I think it is newsworthy that he's still on the roster. It'll be interesting to see if that is still the case into the season. And quite frankly, and listen, James Bradberry, for his 2 years, this is his third year.
This will be his third.
Yeah, he's been a decent player. He's very good his first year. Tailed off last year. I just don't see the role on the team unless it's in case of emergency, break a glass.
Yeah.
Really, I just don't see the role and the value of him being there.
So I think that is the role. And, you know, we'll see the 53 when it's out. If they cut a player like Eli Rickson instead of Bradberry, then I think there's a discussion to be had about youth versus experience. I would lean experience, but I understand keeping Eli Ricks. I think Bradberry's role will be, if he's on the team, a top backup safety because they don't have good options there, and break glass in case of emergency. If, let's say, Quinyon is just – now, he's looked awesome. I don't think this will happen. He's not ready. He doesn't look good week one. Cooper's hamstring still bothering him. Bradberry has at least played corner in the NFL a ton of snaps. So I think there is value for him there, but it's just as a backup emergency situation.
Yeah, and it's this year he's really Bradberry, the big bubble name we're watching for. But around the NFL, some interesting news. Quez Watkins released by the Steelers. Bringing Quez back? Is that the next move?
No.
Just end it there?
And it's safe to say Bradberry wouldn't be here if the Eagles didn't owe him the money.
Yeah.
And that's really what it boils down
to. I do agree with that. But
that's what it is.
It is what it is, but I do think he's carved a role for himself just because they don't have that veteran experience in other places. So I agree it's the money that allowed him to get the role. But I think
they just had to find a role.
Yeah, they had to find. That's fair.
And it's also probably kind of an indictment of the depth of the safety spot that you don't have anybody else worth keeping over Bradberry.
But here's what I'm hoping, because there were other people, and that's the problem. This is where money gets involved.
Right.
There were other safeties. You can't tell me there weren't other safeties.
So is this kind of like a Tywan Walker situation?
Yes, this is a money thing. The money is guaranteed. They owe him whether he's here or not.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, well, they've already paid him.
They've already paid him.
Yeah.
Right. So
He's here. So James Bradberry, it looks like we'll be an Eagle this season. We'll let you know when the final 53 is finalized.
And I understand
in the next few minutes.
I understand.
I mean, it's not shocking.
I mean, I understood Tywan Walker would get another start.
Right. And he is getting another start tomorrow. I'm sure everybody's happy about
it. So the roster is out, but they put it out in a video order. So give me a second to break this.
What are they doing?
Today's technology.
Britton Covey made the team. Eli Ricks made the team. James Bradberry made the team. Avante did make the team.
Okay.
Now we're getting to Cooper, obviously, on the team. Isaiah Rogers on the team. Tristan McCollum made the team.
Okay. So they did keep a young safety.
They did keep a young safety. Patrick Johnson on the roster. Zach Bond clearly made the team. Trotter Jr., props to Trotter. I don't think he was a guarantee to make it. He earned that spot.
Was.
Ben Van Sumeren, Thomas Booker, defensive tackle, made the team. So, Darian Kennard, that's a bit of a surprise. They kept two backup tackles as opposed to, only one. Johnny Wilson, the rookie, made the team. Milton Williams made the team. Marlon Tuipulotu. Moro Ojamo made the team. And those, I guess, would be the notable names.
Okay.
High pressure, by the way.
Yeah, that was well
that
done.
Video as a deal to me.
Did they put Sidney on the PUP list?
Yeah, he would be on the PUP because he's not on the 53-man roster.
Okay.
Yeah, that wasn't announced yet, but I would assume.
And as we mentioned earlier, Nia Smith on the IR.
I was going to say, are there any other players that are candidates for that?
for the IR list?
Or the PUP list. Well, no, wouldn't be ready at the beginning of the season.
So you had to be on the PUP at the beginning of training camp, I believe, to be placed on it.
Okay.
I believe so. So it'll be the IR for Smith and Albert O, and it'll be PUP for Sidney Brown.
Okay. And also, important always to clarify when this comes out, probably not the 53 in a couple days here.
So much time before,
So some guys, what's it like in that situation where you make the team, but you know you're not totally safe yet?
Right.
It's got to be a tough 48 hours coming up for a lot of those guys.
It definitely is. And, you know, some guys, depending on your coach, they'll give you the heads up and say, listen, you're here now. I'm not going to tell you that it's solidified. I'm just saying you're here now and something else could happen. Now that player is on pins and needles for another day or two. You know, but it's a part of it. It's no fun. I was fortunate enough. I didn't necessarily have to go through that. You know, maybe in my second or third year, I thought something could happen with a new regime. But yeah, once I got through that second year, I felt like I had a good enough handle on going into training camp. And I never had a bad training camp.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's one thing if you have a bad training camp and you're on the bubble, you feel like you're going to get cut. I always felt like I came in shape, ready to go, and really proving my value and my worth to the team by being able to play multiple positions at the linebacker spot. As a defensive end, quasi joker, and then obviously playing on all four phases of the special team.
Yeah.
So I made sure I had my stuff in check. Check my boxes off when I get to training camp.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And an interesting guy who made it, we'll get back to the phones in a second here, Patrick Johnson, who in the past has shown up, like he's made plays, and maybe with the edge rusher situation being what it is, maybe Patrick Johnson gets a chance to really get some actual time this year.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, the Eagles couldn't really afford to let anybody go that could get around the edge. And they need to keep as many of those guys as they can because they just don't know what they have in the guys that they have. Mm-hmm. Other than maybe Josh Sweat.
Right.
You kind of know what you have, but we don't know what Bryce Huff is going to be as a full-time player.
Yeah, defensive coordinator told you that.
Yeah, so, you know, and Nolan Smith.
Yep.
What's he going to be this year? It's a big year for him. I think a guy like Nolan Smith really can tilt whether or not this is a above average to above average defensive line or pass rush or below average pass rush, if he can somehow.
Well, I
just don't like the way it's looked in training camp as much.
I think the thing with this line is we talked about Aiden Hutchinson. We talked about, you know, Bosa with San Francisco. Those guys have an ability that you know what you're going to get, and it's going to help the other players around them. They're going to make the other players around them better. The Eagles need somebody to step up and make the players around them better. Because I don't think individually right now, other than Jalen Carter, they have a guy that you can look at and go, okay, this is someone the opposing offensive line is worried about going into the week. Bryce Huff, maybe, but he hasn't completely proven it yet. When you look at this group of defensive edges they've kept and the defensive tackles as well, they really need everybody to pitch in. They need Jordan Davis to be good so life is easier on Jalen Carter. They need Jalen Carter to be good so that life is easier on the edge rushers. They need Nolan Smith to be good so that Josh Sweat and Bryce Huff don't have to be out there 80% of the snaps. They just don't have that one guy. What they do have is a lot of players that if they meet their potential, it could change quickly. It could end up being a somewhat deep line. You just don't know going into the season, which is a rarity for this team. Real quick on the roster, two notable cuts, I would say. One, Oren Burks, the linebacker that they signed fairly early in the offseason, missed a lot of training camp. You know, I didn't think he was going to make the team, but they did end up releasing him, gave him about $800,000 guaranteed, so we'll see what happens there. And then the rookie center, Dylan McMahon, I believe he was the only draft pick that was released. So those would be the two notable ones. But no huge surprises, I would say, in terms of guys we thought would be a contributor that was traded or cut or anything like that.
Well, we'll keep an eye on what the Eagles do moving forward here. And in a few minutes, talking about the pass rush, Brian Baldinger was on with the morning show this morning and had some things to say about the Eagles' defensive line. So we'll get to that in a few minutes. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But some of the things we're talking about today, are we overrating the Eagles going into 2024? I think we are. I think when you look at the roster, when you look at this team, there are holes. There are a lot of holes on defense, holes up front on the offensive line. Ike, you're not nearly as concerned.
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, there you go. Do you think we're overrating the Eagles? And our next question today, what is a great what if as Allen Robinson gets released, the guy who's rumored to come to Philadelphia. I feel like everybody pretty much wanted Allen Robinson. Worked out very well for the Eagles. Mm-hmm. They didn't get him. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Big Aaron in West Philly. What's up, Big Aaron?
What's going on? Hey, I know who I wanted them to keep, man? From Jenkins.
EJ Jenkins.
Yeah,
I liked him, man. Can they put him on the practice squad?
Yeah. So he's definitely practice squad eligible. And I agree with you. I thought EJ had a really good training camp. I think he showed a lot of potential as a receiving tight end. I think he has special qualities that would have to develop his size, his speed. I think he has good hands. The only thing with him is
he did drop a touchdown.
He did. Doesn't have perfect hands, right? But he did. I thought he displayed good.
I always pick us up now.
Well, perfect hands. He was wide open.
I said good hands. I think he had good hands. Yeah. People make mistakes. Yeah. I thought he had a good camp. Yeah. I agree. He was on the bubble. I think he'll be back on the practice squad if he gets through for sure.
I didn't say he didn't deserve to be on the practice squad. Elliot says he has good hands.
Get on the roster.
He did. I saw that catch. Don't make me pull up the training camp stats. I'll let you know exactly how many of those catches he made.
Do you track EJ Jenkins stats?
I track every player.
Wow.
Yeah, every player that gets a target. Yeah.
Big A, what else you got, man?
I'm with you, man. 12 wins, man. I don't know what, TK, you're getting on my nerves, man. You're getting on my nerves today.
I'm sorry, Big A. Somebody's got to give you some reality.
You talk about Jalen Hurts, man. I mean, you don't think he's a great quarterback yet?
I don't think he's proven that definitively. He's had one really good year, Big A. That's it.
Okay, did he have a great Super Bowl?
He did have a great Super Bowl. Probably the best game he's played.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but
and I'm not worried about
Aaron.
I'm gonna skip over that because you went on it. You went on it long enough. I'm gonna skip that. I'm gonna talk about the offensive line. The offensive line gonna be cool. And the defense, more than you need somebody rushing the quarterback. Last year they couldn't tackle worth a damn, and they ain't get no interceptions, no turnovers. Can we get some of them? Maybe that can help the defense out.
Yeah.
Some interceptions and some turnovers.
A lot of that comes from the pass rush, Aaron.
All that. No, that means because they were throwing on people. They were getting thrown on. And they
Aaron, who were the
nothing.
Eagles? Who were the Eagles starting corners when they won the Super Bowl in 2017? Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills. That defense was great because they had a great D line.
Jalen Mills was better than you.
He is. I like
this ain't 2017 no more. This is 2024. It's a more of a throwing league now. They throw the ball. They wasn't throwing the ball like that back then.
In 2017?
They throwing every down.
Well, to be fair, that defense,
now,
the first two
the ball
games
more?
Was good.
Elliot, who throws the ball more now or back then in 2017?
Well, I like that we talked about 2017 as if it was, the 80s. But, yeah, they do throw it more now.
They throw it more, man. I'm not trying to say, like, it's back in the 80s or something. They threw the ball more back then when you really look at it. They were throwing the ball a lot. But
Carson,
Aaron, do you remember the Super Bowl that year with the Eagles and the Patriots? Like a billion points scored in that game.
Yeah, I remember that. All right. Here go my thing right here. What if we would have got Timmy Duncan? You know we could have got Tim Duncan, right?
Now how we could have got Tim
Allen
Duncan?
Allen Iverson came in '96. He was our first pick. Yeah. The next year they were back in it. It was between San Antonio and the Sixers. And the ping pong went to damn San Antonio, and they got Timmy Duncan.
And who do we get?
Man, I don't even care. We ain't get Timmy
Stackhouse,
Duncan.
Stackhouse, maybe? I think it might have been Jerry Stackhouse.
Stackhouse was 95.
Oh, was he?
He was before AI.
Thanks, Aaron.
I don't even know who they got.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it, man.
A great one is
I don't know if that timeline is right. First of all, Tim Duncan, I believe, was drafted in 98?
90.
Was drafted in 97.
Does he mean as a free agent, though?
I'm not sure.
No.
I think he meant in the draft. The better what-if draft-wise is 98 when Larry Brown, because he promised Larry Hughes he was going to draft him, drafted him over Dirk and Paul
Pierce. Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Well,
that's the one.
That was my draft.
So yeah. it was the 97 draft for Duncan.
It was 97.
And then we drafted Keith Van Horn, number two.
Oh, we took Keith Van Horn.
I hated Keith Van Horn, man.
I remember Keith Van Horn, yeah.
Oh, he's terrible.
He was terrible here. He was actually decent with the Nets, I believe.
Yeah, he was good. He was good with the – everyone came here and was bad with
us. Yeah, back then.
And that's probably on Iverson somewhat. But, yeah.
Yeah, he's never worth the number two pick in the draft.
No.
Yeah.
No. But, man.
I don't know who was else in that draft, though.
Could you imagine if they had drafted either Dirk or Paul Pierce? And I think it was like Tony DeLeo wanted Dirk, and Billy King wanted Paul Pierce, and Larry Brown had promised Larry Hughes that he's going to pick.
But let me ask you this, and Iverson is my favorite athlete, so I don't mean this as a slight at him, but do you think maybe just the way they had to play with him, those guys wouldn't have been as good if they came here?
Well, that's why Stackhouse wanted to leave.
Yeah.
I think it's a fair argument, yeah. I mean, those guys are so good, maybe they could have worked it out.
No, let me tell you, man. But back then, nah. Bubba Chuck was going to shoot that thing. Yeah. He wasn't letting nobody else.
I knew you were about to drop a Bubba Chuck there, too. It was past.
You see how I started smiling, man.
The smile means he's Bubba Chuck.
Man. And that's what we wanted to see, man. I don't know if I wanted to see somebody else shoot the ball.
And this is the thing. For a second, I was thinking, okay, well, maybe you trade Allen and you keep one of those other two guys and build around them.
Did you say trade Allen?
Yeah, right, exactly. I would have rather not kept Allen, have things go the way they went, just because that 2001 year was so fun.
Yeah.
Like, that was incredible.
Go back and look at his highlights, man.
He's incredible.
Every once in a while, I'll run across his highlights on YouTube or something. That size, that quick. And he actually had real athleticism early in his career.
Mm-hmm. Man. Well, he could get to the basket.
Yeah, man. Well, AI was something else.
The best is if you go back and you watch like the shortened, like 17-minute YouTube game one against the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Like
he scored 48.
Oh,
yeah.
It was the series against the Raptors. It was 50, yeah. 50. Mm-hmm. You know, he had like 17 assists against the Bucks in game seven. So, yeah.
And still to this day, nobody's had this city jumping the way he did.
100%.
No athlete has come through here.
I think of all the Phillies teams, like that's the one I would change. If I could change one result in Philly sports, it would be that 0-1
team.
I would pick the 0-1 team. You know, no offense, 0-4 Eagles.
I mean, damn.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
Here.
No, you're right. Because I like you.
I probably have to pick because
of you. Yeah.
Well, this is.
I understand, though.
But the 0-1 team, like, yes. You know, that was like eighth grade Elliott. Like, that was the prime of, you know, painful losses.
And also, part of it is we've seen the Phillies win. We've seen the Eagles win. We haven't seen the Sixers get back to a conference finals
since then.
Yeah. I mean,
but Iverson winning a ring for the city would have been.
That would have been nice.
It would have been insane.
Yeah. No question about it. The
statue wouldn't be 2 feet. I know that much.
Yeah. They got to do something about that.
That was ridiculous. Let's go to Black Gritty. What's up, Black Gritty?
Ike. Flip-flop.
Ho, 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 ho! Hey, hold on. Let me hear that voice again. Let me hear it.
Cam, I heard that flip-flops. You had to call it. I saw you. TK, Ike likes the alley-oop at the start of the show. You know what I mean?
I know. I flubbed the alley-oop right at the start. I'm no Jumaine Jones.
Ike likes to come in. You got to take a note. He likes to come in and dunk on it. You know what I mean? Get it right, TK. You know what I mean? It's not your show, but you got to get it right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can see that. That bothered him for the whole segment. He spent the next 20 minutes yelling at
him. Hey, you don't throw up the dog. Don't think I ain't hear something. Like, don't think I ain't hear what Ike has. You know what I mean? Always got the pom-pom. Today we're right where I like to be at. You know what I mean? The Eagles are horrible. They ain't winning nothing. They behind the Commanders. Like Mad Mike somewhere out there eating marshmallows, just giggling at the radio and TV. Right now I'm in a cool composition because everybody's doubting us and hating on us. I love that. I like being in that position because then we get to go out and fix the problem we had last year. What was the problem last year? The same thing we said at the beginning of the year. This team's great, but you know what? They got Murderers Row. They got that death part of the schedule. And when you look at this year, the schedule looks a lot more favorable, Ike. The schedule feels a lot more favorable. So, yes, there's questions. There's questions about every team. Can you stay healthy? Can you do what you need to do? But I know one thing. I ain't going to have to get smacked in the back of the head over and over and over again for 1 month to go rest. Okay? You know what I'm saying? I know we got the bye week earlier this year. They're kind of giving us a shaft on that. But everything else kind of like, okay, tough teams get to recoup. Tough game, get to recoup. You know what I mean? We're starting out in Brazil. We ain't got to go to Brazil in week 9 or nothing crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So yep.
Let's go ahead and pile on right now and talk. I don't want to hear nothing good about the Eagles right now. When we come out smacking people in the face, they're going to be like, oh, no, I forgot. Oh, Bird Gang, baby, Bird Gang.
Black Gritty's right about that. If they go out and they beat the Packers week 1 and they look good,
exactly. Your tune is going to change. Exactly.
Well, we all will. I mean, if they go out and do that.
And Christian Middleton said it earlier, 90% ball control. Sanders, when we had Sanders out there running, my problem with him was he didn't know when to run out of bounds. He didn't know when to stay in bounds. But we were running that clock down. Saquon is such an improvement and upgrade on that. My goodness, time possession is going to be 9-10. The defense is going to be fresh today. You better get a pass, Russ. Jordan Davis,
yeah,
you
think,
better do something. Your contact time up. Carter,
that's some loser energy right there to be talking
too,
about,
you know what I mean?
Time of possession
yeah.
going into the season. Like, you got to go run the offense. I'm not going into a game with this offensive skill set being like, you know, how can we control the clock?
That is running the offense. You're running your offense to control the game.
If you know your defense is bad, you better come up with that idea sooner or later.
That's throwing up the white flag. That's what they tried to do against the Cowboys.
Elliot's right. That's a loser argument.
Yeah, they tried to do that in 2020 against the Cowboys.
In the first half, and then you go ahead and walk the dog the whole rest of the second half. That's what they did when Carson Wentz was here. That's what they did every single game. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. I missed you, brother.
Welcome back, brother. Welcome back.
What's your what if, BG?
What if the Bronco was still bucking and he never got hurt?
Oh.
And then he went on the Super Bowl run. He won't cost anything in the Super Bowl. What if the Bronco has got the buck?
What if he got the buck, man?
Thanks, PJ.
One thing I do.
That was homage to me, and that was a dig at you, TK.
Yeah.
You know how much you hate Carson.
Yeah. Well, I caught it.
Well, one thing I firmly disagree with the people say.
What's that?
Carson absolutely would have won the Super Bowl in 2017 if he stayed healthy. I think it's easy to say now because we saw his career turned out, but that injury completely changed him. He was playing. Yeah. At a higher level.
You still haven't seen a quarterback play at that level here.
2017 Carson is the gold standard of quarterback play in this city.
You heard him.
He's
the quarterback whisperer.
Exactly.
Carson was incredible that year. Mm-hmm. But I disagree that you could say, oh, well, he definitely would have won the Super Bowl.
Why?
Because you can't play a better game than Nick Foles played.
Well, hold on. Actually, Tom Brady played a better game.
Tom Brady fumbled.
And Nick Foles had an interception.
I know, and Nick Foles turned the ball over too.
Would Carson Wentz have gone over and suggested to run a
No, I don't think so. But no,
that was play the game.
No, my only thing is that when you say Nick Foles played a game that nobody else could play, I mean, Brady had a pretty damn good game over there.
He did.
He threw for 500 yards.
Well, he played a little better.
And people,
he did.
People do
But Brady matched him for stats. Stop acting like you don't know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about. And this is not to demean Carson. It's just literally a quarterback cannot play a better game than Nick played.
The mistake you're making is the game would have just played itself out differently. Nick had to play that game because of how the game played out. 2017 Carson was the best quarterback I've seen in an Eagles uniform. Like,
stop it, TK.
This idea,
Carson's not here anymore. Let it go.
It's so funny.
We had a Super Bowl without him.
The reversal of roles is hilarious because Ike will remember after Carson's injury, I was
devastated. Yes.
I said, season's over. Yep. You were the one who picked me
picked up
and told me to believe in Nick.
Yep.
And look at all these years later.
No, I love Nick.
Yeah.
I don't choose between the two. I love both of them.
Well, it's not choosing between the two.
It is. You've chosen to go with Nick a lot of people, and that's okay.
Well, Carson also, you know, kind of forced my hand here. Kind of turned me against them.
Yeah.
By not playing well and
I feel you.
And being a baby.
I'm not here to argue over Carson either. It's okay.
Hey.
Okay if you don't like him.
You think he'll retire an Eagle?
I'm okay with Carson. He'll retire a Chief after he wins the Super Bowl this year. After Patrick Mahomes goes.
I told you he's gonna be playing for the Raiders, man.
Yeah. Maybe he'll retire a Raider next year or later in his career after a great career in Vegas. 215-592-9494. Tom Kelly, Ike Reese. Tom Kelly.
Man, still got
here on the afternoon show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the afternoon show. Ike Reese alongside Tom Kelly, Elliot Shore Parks. We are taking you up to Phillies baseball tonight, 6 o'clock. Phils and Astros will have leading off coming up around 5:35 tonight as we get ready for what a matchup tonight. Aaron Nola, Justin Verlander. So if you're coming down to the park, come say hi. We're at the broadcast booth behind section 125. Talking about the Phils, talking a lot of Eagles today. Cut down day has happened. The Eagles 53 is in. No huge surprises as of now. And the biggest news we talked about in the last segment, James Bradberry, it appears, Elliot, is on this roster.
Yeah, so James Bradberry is on the roster. And, you know, now that we've had a half hour to kind of digest the 53-man roster that they kept, I think they kept the right 53. I think, you're not going to be able to keep every single player. Paris Campbell is a guy I think me and Ike would have kept. But he'll probably be back here on the practice squad and available for week one if they want him. And after they got Jahan Dotson, the need to keep Paris Campbell wasn't as big. You look at some of the guys they cut that are noteworthy. Dylan McMahon, the late round center, nice player. I think he probably clears waivers. I think you probably get a chance to bring him back. So the reality is this team just didn't have a lot of bottom of the roster guys that they were worried about losing. And I think they'll get a lot of players back. So keeping Bradbury, keeping Eli Ricks, keeping Tristan McCollum, they protected Anaya Smith by putting him on IR. I think it was the right 53 from this team.
Now, what position, Elliot, would you say the Eagles are most interested in looking at to improve, whether it's undrafted free agents or, guys that get cut, or trade, stuff like that?
I think tight end is certainly a spot. You'll see them bring somebody in that wasn't here in training camp. They only have two on the 53-man roster right now. EJ Jenkins had a nice camp. I don't know if they're ready to play him in a big game like that opener in Brazil. So backup tight end. And then I think backup offensive line as well. They just didn't have a good camp from their backup offensive linemen. So I think you'll see them look at backup offensive line. Edge rusher, a spot, but it's just hard to find good edge rushers on the free agency market. They just good edge rushers don't really get released. But those would be the three positions.
Yeah, they need to find some depth, though, at some of those positions. I look at their edge rushers and depth-wise, I don't see much there.
Right. I agree, yeah.
And that's one of the areas of concern for this team right now. And Brian Baldinger was on with the morning show earlier today. Here was Baldy talking about his concern with the Eagles' defensive line.
I'm concerned. I'm generally, like, that's my biggest concern on the whole team is what their defensive line. They have been built around a two-tier system where you dress and play eight guys and you rotate them, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned about where the rush is going to come from.
And I think that's fair. Like, that's the biggest thing. You know, we can have our arguments about the offensive line, how important is the right guard spot, will Becton be a problem? But I think everybody can kind of agree, is that edge rusher spot, nobody feels good about what the Eagles have right now.
No. And, I just wonder how much, the Eagles, how much faith they're going to put in Nolan Smith to be out there to be a huge part of their rotation. And I tell you, we are playing with fire by having BG be overused, right? I understand he's not here just to be here. He's going to play, and I'm sure he'll be excited to go out there and play, and he's going to play hard. But I would be concerned how much we are leaning on him. And in his 15th year, he hasn't been called upon to play 17 games and play 20 to 25 snaps a game, 30 snaps a game, right? So to me, BG was always supposed to be a luxury of being here, right? To me, he was going to always be a part of the rotation, but he shouldn't be heavily relied upon and heavily counted on.
Well, and the thing, too, with Brandon Graham is I think he's had a really good training camp. He looks physically way better than I thought he would. I think it was a good idea to bring him back. He's a veteran guy. But to be honest, I didn't have much expectation he would come and be an efficient pass rusher. He's looked really good in camp. But what I worry about is what you just said, Ike. I think it's a good point. Is he can look like a really good pass rusher in camp when you're playing Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt some of these snaps because it's just camp and you want to give him reps. The concern would be if he's now all of a sudden playing 30 pass rush snaps a game because Nolan Smith is giving you nothing, then in weeks 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe that soon, he's not the same quality of rusher.
Well, here's the other thing. You just said pass rushing snaps. No, I'm talking about playing. BG is one of their better edge run defenders.
He might be their best
run defender.
He might
be their best edge run defender.
Yeah.
So once they realize Huff isn't a great run defender, guess who's going to be out there playing on first and second down?
Or Sweat.
Sweat can only take one side.
No, I'm saying I don't know if they have a good run defender.
Oh, right, I see what you're saying. Graham. Right, yes,
like,
yes.
Huff, we don't know if he can do it. I don't think Sweat's great against the run. We have no idea if Nolan can do it. Jalix Hunt's a rookie. Patrick Johnson might be able to do it, but Patrick's not going to play, really, so it doesn't matter. So
Jalix Hunt weighs 235 pounds, 240 pounds.
Yeah.
So does Nolan Smith.
For sure. And Bryce Huff is small, too.
Yes.
And I think this is really where you're relying on, kind of the mind of Vic Fangio, is how are you going to get these guys on the field? Because is it crazy to think you could have alignments on, like, rundowns where you have Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, and Milton Williams out on the field to kind of keep in check the running game and force teams in more passing situations where you can be more comfortable putting those smaller guys on the field?
Yeah, but I don't know if Milton Williams can play the run.
Right.
I mean,
because he's not as big either. Yeah. He's more of a third down guy.
So I think Vic Fangio will be an upgrade at coordinator. But I also think we're probably placing unfair expectations on the coordinator spot if we think he's going to coach this defense into being considerably better than they are. I mean, the talent has to get the job done. The pass rush, if the pass rush isn't winning, Vic Fangio can dial up all the blitzes he wants. The majority of quarterbacks in this league are going to pick that defense, the blitzes apart. So at the end of the day, Fangio will have them in the right place, but they're the ones that have to go out and actually make the plays.
Yeah, and the defense is definitely, you know, an issue heading into this season here, and they're going to be tested week one. I mean, Jordan Love and that receiving corps, we saw what they did in Dallas in the postseason last year. Very nearly, it probably should have won that game in San Francisco a week later. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out week one in Brazil. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, let's go back to the phones. Go to Chuck in Mount Airy. What's up, Chuck?
Fellas.
What's up, Chuck?
ESP, Ike, what's going on? Hey, listen, right? First of all, let me say this, right? You guys are crazy, man. If you think that Nick Foles, you know, that Wentz would have won that Super Bowl and not Nick Foles.
Thank you, Chuck. Why?
Well, who said Nick Foles wouldn't have won the Super Bowl? He did win it.
No. You said that, you know, that you guys think that Wentz would have still won a Super Bowl for us.
Yes.
And I'm here to tell you, we would have even made it to Super Bowl. Because Carson Wentz don't have the calmness. He didn't have the calmness.
He did then. He was the best quarterback in the league that year.
No, he didn't. He was sporadic, man, in the pocket, things like that. He was a good athlete. He got out of a lot of situations. He had a good arm. But I'm talking about he needs that calmness, man, to get you past those big games.
You think they would have lost to the Falcons or the Vikings?
Huh?
You think Carson would have lost to the Falcons or the Vikings before the Super Bowl?
I think we would have lost definitely to the Vikings. Yeah, absolutely. Mm.
I mean, the defense only let up 7 points that day.
He didn't have big game in him, man. You know, and you say Nick Foles threw a interception, right?
Yeah.
Alshon bobbled that ball up. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, agreed. Okay. Still a turnover.
Yeah, still a turnover.
Yeah, but he didn't throw it straight to a defender. He was flawless that game. He was flawless that game. So
okay.
Listen, you know, it happened the way it happened.
Because
God was looking out for us to win us our first ring, because if Carson would have took, we wouldn't have won it. So it happened the way it happened.
Well, we'll never know. We'll never know.
Yeah. Well, I know for sure.
Chuck, even though you're on my side, you sound like a hater right now. Carson was great that year.
He was the best quarterback in football that year.
Carson was a different person before and after that full Super Bowl.
I'm not saying Carson wasn't great, but they played a last place schedule. Okay, that's number one.
Oh,
and number two,
God.
Carson Wentz wasn't, you know, he's sporadic, man. He showed you what he was towards the end of his career. And that's why he's a backup now. You know what I mean? He's never going to get another starting job in the NFL again. And that's the bottom line.
What did Nick do after the Super Bowl?
He didn't have to do nothing to Super Bowl. He got a Super Bowl ring.
He got a Super Bowl ring because the other guy set the table for him.
But that whole team set the table for him.
The whole team won the Super Bowl.
The whole team won it. Yeah, but okay. Nick was the big part of it. You know what I mean?
Well, Carson played in more. Who played in more games that year?
And I've seen people. All I'm saying is I've seen quarterbacks winning the regular season before. I've never seen a quarterback do what Nick Foles did, and that's win it all.
Nick Foles has never done what he did.
In fairness to Chuck here, if Alshon Jeffrey doesn't drop that ball, maybe Nick wins another Super Bowl.
The Eagles were lucky to even be in a playoff state. Yeah, they got in because Minnesota lost at home.
They backdoored into
the playoffs.
I think they would have beat the Rams. They would have beat the Rams next week.
I agree.
The point is that they were lucky to even be in there. They were lucky to double doink field goal.
I agree with that.
What are you talking about? You didn't waste your whole phone call.
What'd you say, Chuck?
I don't need you on my side, man.
Oh, okay. I don't want to be on your side. What if, Chuck?
Listen, let me say something. Listen, Jalen Carter, right? And I do got a what if, but Jalen Carter, he's going to be the most important person in these. I don't think he realized.
Now, what a take. What a take, Chuck. Jalen Carter's the most important player on defense. You got TK
mad at you now. Be careful coming at Chuck.
Listen, TK, I'm trying to tell you, man. You don't know a lot, you know, about football, TK. I can tell when you're talking about So let me school you on football, okay? What I'm saying to you is this. Jalen Carter don't realize how big of an impact he's going to have on his defense. This defense is going to – just Jalen Carter is going to be – but they got to be the man on this defense. I'm talking about for the secondary. If he get pressure up the middle, And with Jordan Davis, those guys can collapse that pocket. It takes mm-hmm. it makes world easy on that on the defensive ends. I'm telling you, it makes a lot easier because this guy is going to be create so much. He's going to be creating so much attention that those guys can get free rushes. Man, all he got to do is just be dominant all year long. Jalen Carter is.
So what's our record this year, Chuck? And we're going on the record next week. I'm going to need your final record next week.
Yeah, well, I'm going to give it to you this week. I'm scared. You know, I'm going 11 and 6.
The phone. Did you say 11-6?
Yeah.
Chuck, I don't know what's going on.
Did you say 11-6?
The phone started to break up when he said 11-6.
All of that for 11-6.
You know what that is? He's trying to be conservative.
Yeah. Mm. And that's.
Who does that?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Come on. Like, certain people can go 11-6. Not Chuck.
Nah.
Like, Chuck's either got to be at 14 or he needs to be at 5. All right? That's his big takeaway. Jalen Carter's the most important player on defense. We all know that, Chuck. I mean, would anybody answer anything different?
No.
Yeah, he's clearly the most important player.
He's clearly the most important player on the team.
He might be the most second most important player on the team,
on a team.
To be honest. Yeah, at least top five.
He's definitely top five.
Sorry, that take just fired me up. It's like, come on. Yeah.
Chuck does. Well, when he told you he didn't want you on his team, I knew.
And as far as Chuck,
it wasn't going to end good for him.
Yeah, Chuck's already threatened to beat me up multiple times. So
he's got a habit of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't like your chances against Chuck. No. For what it's worth.
That's what he does.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
No, Chuck's a great guy. But did Bryce actually, you know, last year?
Don't start
I'm not so sure. Let's go to Dominic in Westchester. What's up, Dominic?
Hey,
yo, Dominic. What's up?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yep, we got you.
Yep. Hey, guys. So first off, Ike, I just want to say I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I just picked up the cannolis. Okay, I got my shirt.
If you're ready for the fantasy draft tomorrow.
Yeah, so I got some shirts from one of our sponsors. You know, I got you an XL polo for when you're golfing. I got some smalls for Spike and everyone, so looking forward to it. And then I was looking at the teams today. I also didn't know you guys ran a charity organization, Get Yoshi. What the hell is that about?
I don't know what that was. That was out of my hands.
I don't know about that. But anyways, on to my Phillies point here. Also, I would like to say after my phone call on Friday, I will take full credit. I think we're going to look back thinking about how we did the standing ovation and Dom from Westchester's call. We are 3-0. I think I saved the Phillies season. They listened to what I had to say, and they're finally starting to hit. So I'll take full credit. No worries there.
That's good. We'll give you credit.
And then on the Eagles, that guy on ESPN or whatever station he's on, he's getting exactly what he wanted. He's making these absurd takes just so you guys talk about him and he gets more publicity. This team is a 14-3 team, and there's no doubt in my mind. Mm-hmm. I don't see
14-3. No doubt in your mind, Dominic. 14 wins.
Yeah, I don't see anything more. At the most, 5 losses.
With this defense, you're that confident that they're going to be great?
Yeah, I do believe that this defense is going to be a lot better. I think just last year there was something more going on than just what like the players were. We didn't have great players on the team. We had great players on the team. The coaching just started to fall apart at the end of the season. So I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, Chuck did make a great point. I mean, how did no one know that Jalen Carter was going to be the best player on the defense?
Oh, Chuck's about to get it for the next year.
Tell already. Well, I appreciate that, Dominic. What do you got on the Phils?
That was my Phillies point, that I'm just going to take full credit. But okay. I do have a what if, and this one's for Elliot. Me as a Foxhole guy knows it. So, Elliot, I am thinking about it. I mean, what if Marty did go back and hook up with his mom?
You have to wonder if Marty thinks that, if he's like, should I go back to 1955? Yeah.
Thanks, Dominic.
Good call, Dominic.
Elliot, that take, man.
Yes.
You're never going to escape that one. That was wild. I'm a fan of hot takes. That one's too hot for me.
I'm not saying Marty should have hooked up with his mom. This is on the loudspeker. I'm saying
that is. It's going out through the concourse.
Yeah, maybe the Citizens Bank doesn't want to hear my Marty McFly take. Yeah.
All right. Well, it sounds like you're backing off.
I'm just saying he could. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Bam in Upper Darby. What's up, Bam? Oh, no. Bam.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
Come on, Bam.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
There he is.
What's up,
hey,
man?
How y'all doing? Had to take you off mute for a second. What's going on?
Mm-hmm. You just asked us how we're doing 3 times, Bam.
Yep.
Spike would have cut you off twice already.
But like I said, My Eagles point, right? Do you think now that the roster has been cut down, do you think Jalen Hunt has a chance to play this year or be a starter, or he's going to be a red shirt?
Oh, I don't know about being a starter. No, he's going to play. Right? I would imagine, yeah. Why wouldn't he play? Yeah.
I think what will help him is
he'll be in that rotation.
But he does project as well. And look, he wears that 58. He does project as a good special teams player. Mm-hmm. Like, so I think he'll be active on game days because of that. And I think he's been way better as a defensive player than I expected this early on in his career, for sure.
Okay, cool. That's all I wanted to know. But, hey, fellas, I'll be in San Diego on Sunday, but I'm going to the Padres game. Just to take in some because I'm on vacation. Okay. I'm gonna wear my Philly shirt ahead to the game, to the Padres game.
Love it.
There you go.
So you're gonna be one of those guys that shows up to a game. Your team isn't either one of the teams. You just got your own jersey on.
Yep.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. I like it when it's us that does it. I don't like it when. Yeah. Well, we're at an Eagles game, Eagles versus Cowboys, and somebody in a damn Dolphins jersey rolls up.
I'm not a fan of that. Right? If you're going to a neutral game, just wear a neutral color. Don't wear a team's jersey. It's a weird look.
Well, they want to represent their team.
Yeah,
you sound like not a real fan over here.
Oh, I'm not a Philly guy?
Yeah, you don't sound like a Philly guy. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, what is your what if, Bam?
All right, my what if is I had to change it. I told Francisco something, but I told him I'm going to change it. I said, what if you and John Johnson, right, Tom? What if you and John Johnson took some blue cheese and took that wallpaper off your that project?
Oh, God.
I don't want to think about that possibility, Bam.
I don't know how they combined, but guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even, I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah,
I think Bam was trying to make a joke.
Yes,
but,
blue cheese and wallpaper.
Was,
yes.
Not a good one. No.
Maybe you should find out, see what happens.
Yeah. No, thanks. But, no, there are always those moments because, you know, being down at the link for Eagles games and stuff, when you're playing the Cowboys and somebody's there in, like, a Denver Broncos jersey.
Right.
It's just like, what's the point?
Well, the preseason game on Saturday.
We saw all types of jerseys Saturday.
There was Jaguars jersey out there. Yeah. I think I saw a Texans jersey. Honestly, that's what week one in Brazil is going to be like.
Yeah, preseason games, it's different.
It's going to be a lot of different fans there. Yeah.
Week one. See, I've been going back and forth between 13 and 4 and 12 and 5, so I know I got two tweets out there that people will remind me of. It just depends on which one it falls on at the end of the year.
Is it week one?
Yeah, it's the week one game. I just don't know how that game is going to fall.
How you feel about the game? I know it's looking ahead, but.
I actually have a nervous energy over the game. I'm excited for it, but I know it's not an easy game. And I as much as I wanted to play the Carolina Panthers that game so I could just chalk up a W, I am kind of excited to see where we stack up against one or the other. I'd rather get Green Bay right now than later in the year. Now, obviously, I would want them here at the link, and it sucks that we're on a neutral site. I'm just saying I would rather play Green Bay early in the season versus playing them late in the season.
And I always love when you get a week one game with some buzz. You know,
we got a little something to this game.
You're playing in New England, 1:00. It just, you know, I don't know. It's
a tough game to get up for.
Right, so it's always exciting, but you don't have that kind of feel. The year before, 1:00 in Detroit.
Yeah.
It's like this year you're a standalone game. You're going up against another.
It's a Friday night
top
game.
Top team in the NFC.
Friday night.
That adds something to it.
Yeah. I'm excited about it.
Until they lose and they're 0-1 and they're 1-7 in their last.
Here's the thing, though, E. That's why I said I'm glad it's early because it'll at least let me see where we're at.
Yeah. So I think if I would have picked, I'd rather had 1:00 against Carolina. A nice, easy win.
Start the season.
It'll be exciting for sure. And if they win, it'll be a huge win for them. I just think this team desperately needs some positive reinforcement to start the season with how last year ended.
2.5-point spread right now in favor of the Eagles. I wonder if that changes by the time we get to next week.
And that's the thing. When you
why it changed initially, right? From 1.5 to 2.5.
Why?
My training camp stats.
Oh.
The Jalen Hurts interception thing moved it a point.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what?
I'll buy it.
I'm not totally discounting.
Nothing else changed with the game over the last week. Yeah.
But it is interesting because you look at their early.
Oh, we got Johan. What is it? Johan? Or
Johan, yes.
Yeah. It is Johan?
Johan. Dotson.
It's Johan, though, right?
It's
I know his last name.
It's Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
It's Johan. Now I'm trying to trick you. I like you calling him.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get over that.
We've got to help him through this, not trick him. Yeah,
but it is. You look
it's
at that
Jahan Dotson.
You look at that early season schedule, though.
Jahan,
you beat the Packers. You got three games against the NFC South after that. I mean, you get off the 4-0 start pretty quick.
I like my chances against those three teams from the NFC South and coming out of the bye week against Cleveland.
I think that Falcons game is trickier, but I agree that they're better than the next three teams on their schedule, for sure.
That might be Michael Penix quarterbacking.
Yeah, but if it's Kirk Cousins, I mean, they got Justin Simmons.
I mean, Kirk Cousins is injured.
Yeah, he's not going to be ready.
Is he not playing week one?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, all right.
I mean, that was a pretty bad injury. Yeah. He tore his Achilles.
Penix didn't play in the final preseason game. So maybe they kept him out. Yeah, good point.
Interesting. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Read on our Twitter question of the day brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers is the official sponsor of the 94 WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football Challenge. Shop the home team at marks-jewelers.com. Are we overrating the 2024 Eagles? Find it at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Right now, 59% saying no, so 41% saying we are overrating.
Well, I tell you, unbelievable.
When we get back, a top 5-5 with Francisco. We'll see how he performs under pressure today. Mm-hmm. That's coming up next right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.